This evening, if you have your Bible, you might want to go ahead and open it to Matthew chapter 27, because I want to look at some people at the cross of Jesus, and what I want to challenge you to do is to find yourself in the story. Have you ever noticed how self-centered we are, especially when it comes to photographs? You can take a picture, a group picture, a family picture, and say, oh, this is a good picture. And there can be 30 other people in that picture who have the best pose possible. And if yours is just a little off, oh, I don't like that picture. You know, it's all about you. It doesn't matter what anybody else looks like. It's just, and when we look at a picture, a group picture, we look to find ourselves in the picture. And that's what I want you to do tonight. I want you to see this picture that God painted for us in Matthew chapter 27, a scene at the cross. And what I want you to do is I want you to look for yourself. Because there are three types of people here that I think you will find yourself in one of those three categories. And you may not like what you find if you really stop and think about it and find yourself, and it may be time to do something about that. Maybe you need a retake. But I hope that you'll find yourself in the story in a way that is beneficial to you and to those around you. Matthew chapter 27 is the crucifixion of Jesus. And as he was taken to the cross, and as he hung on the cross and died, there were people who were gathered around. And among those people, we see at least three categories, and that's what I want to look at tonight. First of all, there was a picture or a snapshot, if you will, of those who were, or at least one, who was forced to the cross of Jesus. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 32, it says that they found a man, his name was Simon of Cyrene, and they compelled him to bear the cross of Jesus. Simon of Cyrene, have you ever stopped to wonder, you know, we'd say, who was the man who carried the cross of Jesus? Simon of Cyrene, you know, that's one of those trivia questions we learn, you know, as we're growing up. But have you ever thought, not just Simon of Cyrene, where is Cyrene? Well, in Jerusalem, you're going to have to go down to Jerusalem. You're going to have to cross over Egypt and over halfway through Libya. It's northern Africa. This man has made a long, long journey to Jerusalem. Now, we can guess why. He may have been a proselyte. The Bible just doesn't tell us why he was there. But I would say that he probably didn't know a whole lot about Jesus being from Cyrene. And he just got caught up in the moment. He's in a crowd of people, and Jesus is carrying this cross through the streets, and he's wanting to see what's going on, and some soldier grabs him and says, carry his cross. I don't want to carry his cross. I don't know this man. I don't have anything to do with these people. I'm a visitor. I'm from out of town. I carry his cross. They made him. They forced him to the cross of Jesus. There's nothing that indicates from the text that Simon saw the plight of Jesus and said, oh, here, let me help. There wasn't any kind of noble gesture that the Bible records. It just says that he was compelled to carry the cross of Jesus. So some people, that's the first snapshot, some people are at the cross of Jesus because they have to. They're forced to the cross. Does that happen today? Do you know anybody that comes to the cross of Jesus because they're forced to do so? Man, if I don't go to church, my wife will get all over she'll climb all over my back. It's just easier to go than to have to listen to her. Or if I don't go, my husband just stays after me. He lectures me. Children, well, I've got to go to church because mom and dad, well, they would never let me not miss. I don't want to go, but I've got to go because what mom and dad say. And there are those who might say, well, let's get up and go. The kids want to go to Bible class. Oh, we don't want to go, but for the kids' sake, let's go ahead and go. There are a lot of people. My boss goes to church. I better go to church because I want that job, or I want to keep that job, or I want a promotion within the company, and so I want to put forth the right image to my superior so that things will work out for me. It's election season, and so I better go to the church to be seen and to mingle and to let people know I'm a church-going person. And on the reasons go. Preachers sometimes are forced to the cross because, well, the only reason they do what they do is that I've got to get a paycheck. You know, if I don't go to church on Sunday, I'm not going to get paid, and I've got to show. And you don't think that happens? I know of preachers who have, for whatever reasons, been dismissed and asked to find work elsewhere. The elders think it's a better situation. The church can grow and so forth. Those things happen. It's no fault of anybody's necessarily, but I know of guys who are preachers, and when they find themselves in that situation, they just quit going to church. What's the sense of going? Maybe if I get another job, I'll start going again, but right now I'm not going. Those are people who are coming all for the wrong reasons. They're coming to Jesus for the wrong reasons. They're no different than Simon of Cyrene. There's something in their life, some person in their life who has forced them or compelled them to come to Jesus, come to the cross. We don't want to be in this picture. I hope that Simon of Cyrene, I don't know whatever happened to him, I hope that because of his compelled interest in this story that he began to ask some questions and learned about Jesus and obeyed. I don't know that, though. But if you find yourself as Simon, just somebody who's been forced, you're having to go through the motions to keep peace or to advance some other agenda, that's not where you want to be. So that's one snapshot we see at the cross of Jesus. Here's a second snapshot. And it's those, not those who have been forced to the cross, but those who are foolish at the cross. As Jesus was hung on the cross, there were, well, certain people there. There was the crowd of bystanders, spectators that were there to watch the show, the hanging. There were the Roman soldiers who nailed Jesus to the cross and were guards over the whole affair, making sure that nobody would bring him down or rescue him or save his life. And there were also those religious leaders who were behind the scenes, who manipulated people to do their bidding, and they stand back and look all holy and righteous in their religious garb while deep down, it's because of their hatred that he's hanging on the cross in the first place. But as you look at this crowd of people that were there, they were foolish. What were the Roman soldiers doing? Well, they were gambling. They were playing games. They're down here casting lots for the one thing that Jesus possessed, that garment, that they were going to see who gets to walk away with his clothing. And so they're in the shadow of Jesus himself. Just over their shoulder is taking place the historical event that is the crux of history. And they missed it. They didn't see it. All they could see is a piece of what? How much should that cost? Not much, I suppose. But that's all they could see. They're playing games while the most important event in history occurred. A number of years ago, it's kind of funny, and this is in a much smaller level, but just to give you the idea, have you ever been in the car and somebody in the car says, oh, look, there's a, and where? And by the time your children see, it's gone, and they didn't see it, and it's frustrating. We were in Alaska, and there was this place outside of Anchorage, I think it was called Beluga Point or something. There were a lot of whales there, and we were trying to see some whales. And every time somebody saw a whale, they go, oh, there's one. And Anne-Marie go, where? She never did see the whales. I mean, she always looked just a little bit too late. And it became a very frustrating thing. But, you know, people are right in the presence of some very significant things. They didn't even see it. These men are playing a game. They're betting for a piece of clothing while the Son of God is dying for their sins. They were foolish at the cross not to identify what was taking place. What about the crowds? They were so caught up in this mob mentality. They were thirsty for blood. They didn't care who he was, what he had done. The miracles, the things that he had done just a week earlier as he came into Jerusalem, the healings, the stories, the multitudes of people that could testify of the great things that he had done. They didn't have any thought for that. They were set on death. Someone was going to die, and it was him. And while this man was their savior, they missed it completely. And those religious leaders were so eaten up with envy and hatred. Though they were in the presence of the one who was dying for their sins, it did them no good. And you see, I think that can be something that happens to us today. We can be in the very presence. We can be at the right place. We can be where we ought to be, but we miss the significance of what's taking place because we're foolish. Do you think it's ever happened that a person has come to church and they didn't worship? Or they came, what do you do on Sunday? Well, I go to church to worship God. And they go and they spend an hour or two, but they didn't worship God. Does that happen? Sure it does. They're in the presence of God. They're in the presence of Jesus. But they fail to see the significance of what's taking place around them. Don't find yourself in that picture. Tonight, we're in the presence of God. We're here to worship God. We're drawn by the cross of Jesus. And it may be the case that you're not here because you have to come. You're here because you want to come. But it can be the case that even though while you're here, you're missing the significance of what's taking place. Well, that kid in front of me is so cute. You're caught up in, I don't know, you passing notes, texting each other. What do we do today? I guess we don't write notes anymore. We can just text each other. But whatever it is that can be distracting, and those things aren't bad, but it just things can get distracting, and we miss the significance of what's taking place. Don't find yourself in that snapshot, foolish, at the cross of Jesus. And then there's a third, and that's the last one that I want to share with you tonight. There's a third snapshot. And it's really, God has a way of turning everything upside down. The people that you think would be excluded are the ones that are included. The wise, the mighty of this world, they're the ones that get left behind because of their pride, and it's the humble and the poor that find the salvation that God so freely offers. The third snapshot is of one who is forgiven at the cross. And of all people, he's the thief. He's not the religious leaders. He's the man who is hanging on the cross beside him. He's a sinner. He's being put to death because of his crimes. And as he hangs there, he sees the significance of what other people miss. He knows that he's deserving of death. He knows Jesus is holy. And he cries out to Jesus, and he says, "Remember me." And Jesus says, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Probably the least likely person that you think is going to end that day well is the man who ends the day well. The thief, the sinner, the one who has enough insight, enough humility to say, "I'm a sinner. And I recognize you as a Savior. Remember me." And Jesus did. The criminal on the cross is a reminder to me. You know, the whole event of the cross didn't have to be recorded. Jesus, the writers of the Bible could have just focused on Jesus himself. I mean, after all, that's the event, isn't it? The other two are peripheral. What difference does it make if there's two other guys hanging on each side of Jesus? That's not the storyline. The storyline is the cross of Christ. But why tell the story of the thief? Why tell of the interaction that they had as they were hanging on the cross? And I'll tell you, at least in my understanding, is it gives me hope. Here's a man who reaches the day of his death, and he's not lived well, but he turns to Jesus, and he finds grace. I hope that as we look to the cross of Christ, we see our picture among those who are able to humble themselves and say, I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior. I need someone to help me. Remember me, Lord. And He will. God has given us terms of pardon. If we meet those terms, we're forgiven. Just as Jesus had power to forgive sins, he freely forgave the sins of that thief on the cross. And after his death, he still dispenses of that good, or his goods of forgiveness in harmony with the terms of his will. Those who turn from their sin, confess Jesus as their Lord, and are baptized into Christ are saved, just as the thief on the cross was saved. Well, where are you? Here's a picture of the cross, the most important event in the history of the world. Jesus on this event and on this occasion is paying for our sins. And we don't, because of what he's done, we don't have to pay it off. We don't have to work it off. The things that we have done that have been out of harmony with God's will, they can be pardoned, forgiven, and we can go forward. The cross of Christ stands as a testimony through the ages of God's love for you. It's a billboard, and it screams to be heard. And the message that it says is, God loves you. What are you going to do as you stand at the foot of the cross and look up at Jesus? Why are you there? Are you there because you're forced there? Are you there and foolish, having not availed yourself of the forgiveness that is available? Or are you there at the cross, humbled by his love and finding forgiveness? Where are you in the story? We're going to sing a song of encouragement in just a moment, and as that song's being sung, I want you to consider your plight, your situation. Where are you in terms of the cross? If you look at that story, just who do you best align with? I hope that you're not foolish at the cross. I hope you're not here just because you have to be here. Somebody made you come. I hope you're not here in the presence of God, and yet you'll leave here tonight lost, failing to avail yourself of what Jesus has done for you. But if that's the case, fix it. Change your heart, change your attitude, repent, and God will forgive you. I hope we can all leave here tonight forgiven because of the event of the cross. If you need prayers, if you need to be baptized into Christ, we'll assist you in that if you'll come as we stand and sing this song.